What have you been doing since your retirement?
Well, I don't even call it retirement, John. I call it the 116-hour weekend.
Yeah.
And basically, I watch my forensics files and my investigation discovery true crime shows. I go in and use my computer software to mix up my own road mix tapes and make some CDs for friends, knowing what they like. Oh, and a bird just tried to fly through the window at us. Hello. I do a ton of reading. I probably read 3 books a week.
Wow. Wow. That's great. At the outset, Scooter, I mentioned that I was going to talk to you, and so many people said, oh, yes, we remember Scooter. And so you've jumped out from that radio station. What do you think when people remind you fondly about your days at KAKC?
When it first started, John, I thought, oh, that's how somebody remembered. And then different things kept getting forwarded to me on Facebook when I was still wasting time there. And things kept getting forwarded to me on Facebook about Tulsa radio memories, and I would always show up, and I just thought, well, the dream continues. I've got to wake up some year, but until it does, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And now things like this happen, and I'm going, I still didn't hear it, but I'm fortunate that other people had a lot different ears than I did.
You know, I suspect I was so smitten with radio as you were as well. And I remember I just had to get in, walk up to a radio station and say, can I walk into your studio and just stand there?
That was me that very first time. I walked in, and I probably still have nose prints and something else on their window from standing there pressed against it, watching all this equipment doing nothing in this room for half an hour until the guy came in from mowing the lawn or whatever he's doing, made him sweat so much, and slammed the mic on, KWAK, Stuttgart, and by that time the ball game's playing again.
And we didn't know what was happening to us because not everybody was smitten with wanting to be on the radio. And so it was just, you know, some of us who just loved it and could hardly wait to be able to do that one day. And we were very, very fortunate. So it never was a job to me. I'm sure it wasn't to you either. Some people go,
I told Bill, I said, I never made any money at all. This is going to be embarrassing, and I'm going to admit it for all of Voices of Tulsa, Voices of Oklahoma listeners to hear. The highest salary I made in my 55 years in radio was the equivalent of $37,200 a year. That was my last 17 months working. Okay?
Wow.
Like I say, I never had the confidence to go for the big paying job, so I never got the big paying jobs.
Yeah.
But I said, I never made any money, and I played and loved every minute of it. I think the problem was that I played more than I loved. And
Well,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. Did you build your own little radio control board in your room at home and sit there with a couple of turntables and practice?
No, I wasn't that advanced in my thinking, but I'm sure you did.
I wasn't that advanced, but I was pretty good with a bolt cutter and masking tape and a cardboard paper box.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. You know, there's so many kids down through the years and kids today, they don't know what they want to do, and they just don't know, and eventually they find it. But you and I were lucky that we knew what we wanted to do, and it drove us. And that, as I look back, I realize that was a blessing to both of us, that we had this drive and we wanted to be on the radio.
Let me ask you this, though. Did you know before you walked into that first station you wanted to do it, or you walked in and then it hooked you?
It was a fascination. I didn't know where this thing was going to go. And then there was a guy that I'm still in touch with today. He'd been in radio, and he'd say, way back, a year out of high school, John, with that voice of yours, you ought to be in radio. And I just said, laughed, and, you know, even though I'd been fascinated. But then again, he'd say, well, John, you want to be in radio, you ought to be in radio. And his name was Chuck, and he'd been in radio, and then he went into the ministry. So then I said, well, how do you do that? How do you get into radio? Well, I went to radio school, and you didn't. And I went to radio school and Brown Institute in Minneapolis.
And Brown Institute. I think I knew a guy that taught there once.
Yeah, and I remember Jimmy Valentine had been a big star in WCCO Radio in Minneapolis, and he was one of the teachers, and so I was there for about 8-9 months, and then I graduated, and then I went to Grand Forks and Fargo and Omaha and here, but I had to go to radio school because I went to KOIL KILO in Grand Forks, and I told them, I'm thinking about going to radio school, but I'll audition for you, and you tell me whether I should go to radio school or not. And he came back after listening to the audition tape, and he says, I think you ought to go to radio school.
You think, huh?
Right, right, right. And so I did, and then I came back and got hired. So anyway, kind of enough on me, but it is interesting. We're sharing these stories as old radio guys and how we eventually got there. But I could never have jumped in like you did in high school. I never had the confidence to be able to do that at all. But we got there by different ways.
I wasn't confident. They just offered it to me, and it was there, and it was something I'd fallen in love with. I said, well, using a line from a guy I later worked with at the station, might as well, can't dance, and it's too wet to plow.
Right.